And of course, our special guest tonight, Dr. Garland Landreth. We're going to be talking about some prayer research when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Dr. Landreth, let's get into some of the prayer research, the prayer studies, and we'll go to from each point there.
Sounds great. Well, actually, the prayer, and you, since you do a lot of prayer stuff here, yes. I think it's one of the ones that that's everybody's favorite. You know, the first studies that were done were, you know, people would pray for people in one ward of the hospital and wouldn't pray for the surrounding wards. And they had really good success. And also there was a whole bunch of prayer research on rabbits and amoebas even. And, you know, they'd pray for one group of amoebas and wouldn't pray for the other group, and the amoebas would grow faster. And, of course, the scientists thought it was the Petri dish effect, where the people who were praying for the group of amoebas were lifting up the Petri dish more, so they were getting more oxygen. And then they started praying for the amoebas one mile away and 10 miles away and still getting the same results. And the people in the wards of the hospital, of course, I think it was about 10 of those studies. And some of them actually found less deaths in some of the groups they prayed for. But again, the scientists poo-pooed this early research. They said that the people doing the praying had a knack of figuring out which of the wards had the best doctors and best nurses.
Oh, my.
I'm serious. I am serious. So the first double-blind study was done in 1988 by a guy named Bird. And I could spend about an hour on the prayer research alone, but I'm kind of cutting back quite a bit. I didn't realize this was going to go so fast.
You know what? For a three-hour program with you, and we're already into hour two now, it's buzzing by way too fast.
Way too fast. Well, I may have to come back just to finish it all.
That's like I said, and it's going to be way more than one time every 6 years. That's for
Let's
sure.
do that. Let's make sure we there's a lot of stuff I'm not even sure I'm going to be able to get to. So the big question was, after the double blind, was, is prayer simply positive thinking? Because let's say you're praying for somebody and they know you're praying for them. Is it due to the fact that they have positive thoughts about it, or is it due to something special about the prayer?
And do they have to know that you're praying for them?
Exactly. And that is what they call a triple blind study. In other words, if the person doesn't know that they're being prayed for and the results happen, then it can't be due to positive thinking. But actually, to tell you the truth, all the animal and the amoeba studies and the mold studies, there's no positive thinking there either, because molds can't figure out whether somebody's praying for them or not. So it's really an interesting question still. But they did a study on this. It was done in 1999 in Kansas City, where I live. And Unity Church was one of the churches that was involved with that study, as well as a bunch of other churches. And they did a triple-blind study. Everybody that entered the hospital for a six-month period was put into two different groups and either prayed for or wasn't prayed for. And again, it was double, triple blind, so even the doctors and nurses didn't know that the people were being prayed for, or even the study was going on. And the only person who knew was the hospital administrator. It was over 1,200 people, and they found the exact same results as the other prayer studies. Things like they had less need for antibiotics, they had less time in the hospital, better quality of life, that kind of stuff. And this blew a lot of people's minds, because most scientists can accept the fact that prayer is positive thinking. But what they can't accept is that prayer is something unique. And there's a bunch of prayer studies that have been done since then, and one of them was done by the Benson Group in Harvard, and they did not find any significance, and they make the claim that prayer doesn't work.
Does not work.
Right. And I think Dean Radin, when he was on the show, kind of alliterated that study. However, this gets back to me. I happen to know the person when I was I do these seminars all over the place, and a lot of times in churches. One of the churches I do is Unity Churches. So, and Benson tried to get the TM group, which I know a lot about, to do a study with him as well back years ago. And he wanted the TM group to change the way they did meditation so he could study it scientifically. And of course, the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, the guy from the Beatles, he was the one that started the TM. He kind of laughed at him and said, "No, we're not going to change. If you want to study it, you study it the way we do it. You know, we're not going to study it the way you do it, because it's not going to work.
Their techniques are working. Why change it?"
Exactly. So I asked the guy at Unity Church if Benson had changed, because Unity Church had done about four or five different prayer studies, and always been significant. And I thought to myself, there's got to be something, because I know Benson. And I said, did he try to change your prayer? And he said, now that you mentioned, he did change our prayer. I said, which part of the prayer did he change? And I said, what we do in unity is we don't talk about the problem. We just send person love, and then we wish them the best. And then, but for the highest good. And I said, which part did he get rid of? For the highest good. And I'm thinking about this is a bingo kind of experience. Because if you're getting rid of the highest good, what are you doing? You have an intention prayer, not a releasing prayer. So what I'm saying is there's actually two types of prayer. One's intentions, and one is kind of releasing that intention. And I'm saying that the prayers would have more power if you learn to release the intention.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and that's one reason I like praying at night before you go to sleep. You're releasing it. You're sleeping on it. And so I have techniques. That's what one of the things I do in my DVD, Tap into Bliss, is teach people how to release the prayers. I have a whole prayer section in there. And again, I look on prayers as intentions. I think it's really wise not to look at it as a religious kind of thing because everybody has their own thoughts on religion.
Right.
But intentions are the same as prayers. And a lot of times our intentions are for good. We want to have somebody send some good thoughts when they're in a hospital or things like this. So, again, this is, again, some extra proof that releasing the intentions is the key.
Is there a limitation as to what one can pray for? You know, health, for example, I think that's admirable. What about people who say, I want that shiny new car? Are they going to get that?
Well, when I teach my manifestation classes and also, in the DVD, I mentioned that the main thing is to release the prayer. Now, when you want to manifest something, I say a much more powerful manifester is sending love to what you want to manifest. Giving. Remember we talked about Kennedy's idea. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Right.
He got us to the moon in, 3 years? We didn't even have a rocket. He got us together by giving instead of taking. We seem to have gotten out of that mode lately, if you haven't noticed. Everybody wants something. But I have I've gotten a lot of people with interviews at interviews and jobs, hundreds and hundreds of people in this economy. And what I tell them to do is you go send love. And I teach them techniques how to do it. And I teach them how to send love to whatever you want to interview with or whoever you want to manifest. And you're sending, you want to give. So when you go into the interview, you want to talk about not, I can type 3,000 words a minute. Instead of that, you can say, talk about what you can give to the company and talk about your skills in relation to what you can give, not to what you can do. So in other words, if you're saying you guys are working on this project, I can type 3,000 words a minute. We can help get this project out faster. And you think about the good things about the company. You send them love about the fact they're employing people, they're helping the economy, they're doing a lot of good stuff in the United States. In other words, instead of thinking about the negative stuff or worrying, you learn to send positive affirmations and love. Love is one of the biggest manifestors you can do. And the other big one is gratitude. You cannot underestimate gratitude.
Explain that.
Well, being in the state of gratitude means that you're thankful for what you have. Now, according to attraction theory, if you're in a state of gratitude and you're thankful for what you have, then you'll be attracting more things to be grateful for.
Is that why givers who give in their life seem to get back more? And even I have found when I've helped some people once in a while with no expectations, Garland, of receiving anything back, but all of a sudden something grand happens to me that I didn't anticipate. And it just seems like that happens a lot.
And I think you're brilliant. That's exactly what happens. Because when you're in a state of wanting something, then what you attract is lack because you don't have something.
Yes.
It's weird because we've all been taught that we have to have intentions and we got to make those intentions work. And that the intentions, when you're taught you want to manifest a car, you're taught you got to visualize the car. You got to have a car ring that says BMW. You have to clear out the garage so you can put the BMW in the garage. You know, they tell you all this stuff to visualize. Well, it doesn't work. Nobody ever gets it that way. Instead, what you can do is you learn to let go of the intention. You release it to the highest good or whatever you want to, whatever words works for you. I like to teach people how to get to the quantum. By getting to the quantum, then you are letting go in the quantum field. And that enhances your ability to manifest tremendously.
Well, it works. I think if people try it and work at it and they do it from the heart, it works.
Unbelievably. Like I said, if I could show you all my emails of people who have gotten jobs just by that simple principles I just gave. Of course, there's techniques involved with it, too. I teach people how to tap on acupuncture points with their fingers to release the blocks. See, that's the key that I use, is that using the body energies to enhance the thinking process. Because we've all known that positive thoughts work. But the problem is, a lot of times they don't work.
You're adding science to this, and that's
oh, yeah.
What I like.
I mean, I can, if we had another couple hours, I could blow you away with all the scientific studies I know, and I would prove everything I'm just saying. Well, I would still get to some of it. I'll get to, you know, as much as I can get to. But the reason I'm so absolutely certain that this works is because I've seen it in action, and I've been looking for a way to get rid of the blocks that's easy for people. That was my whole quest the last 6 years, is to try to figure out how I could do this. Because as much as I love TM, Transcendental Meditation, I will tell you this. People aren't going to do it twice a day. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people won't do it because they think it's religions. A lot of people won't do it because they think it's they don't have time, and they don't think they can meditate.
What convinced you that people had these blocks?
Well, now we know from brain scans. But I knew this years ago because what convinced me was the fact, just like you had all those amazing experiences when you were a kid. That's what gave you the power to be to where you are now. Because you wouldn't take no for an answer. You were looking for something because of the experiences you had as a child. My theory is we're all quantum beings. And if in order to make this a legitimate experiment, or a challenge, I should say, we must have known what's going to happen before we came here. So we gave ourselves blocks. That's part of the deal. We need to work through these blocks to figure out our own destiny.
What are we doing wrong when we do an experiment? Let's say there's a drought somewhere, and we pray, we use the mass consciousness for rain. But instead of getting just rain, we get a monsoon. And we end up flooding someplace, or, you know, people will flood the river. How do you control that?
Well, you know, it's funny. When we did those many of your listeners, I'm sure have seen the movie What to Believe. When we took 4,000 TMers, transcendental meditators, in there and changed the crime rates. And we were all in a big, huge ballroom, and we were meditating together. And afterwards, it was after about 5 or 6 weeks, we all get together, and minister from an African country, I forgot which one it was now, I could probably get it, but he came in and talked to us, and he said, you know what, I really thank you, what you're doing here is, you know, he was one of the ministers from the country, he said, what you're doing here is really amazing, because it will work, he said, because we didn't have the data at that time, we just went in there, and I knew it worked, because every time we'd ever tried it, it worked. And he said, you know, you guys came into our country when we had one rainstorm in 1 year, and you sat there and meditated, and we got rain. He said, and within a week, he said, I really thank you guys for helping us out there. What? And the question you're having is, how do we control it? I'm not sure we can control it through intentions, but what we can do is control it through our intention of for the highest good.
Well, you know, in the old days, they talked about Indian rain dances, and they said,
right.
You know, they work, and you know, the joke was always, why do Indian rain dances always work? And the joke was, well, they never stop dancing. So you know, if you never stop dancing, it's going to rain eventually.
It's going to rain eventually, right? Exactly.
But they understood, I think, this what you're talking about. They understood how to tap into something in the cosmos, and it worked for them.
And they used body energies, the dancing.
Exactly.
See, I think the key is the body. The blocks are in our body.
And maybe sound, maybe resonance. Maybe
sound works as well. That helps. But and that's why, again, I like the tapping. Now, one of the experiments I just did, and I just finished up, nobody knows about it except for a few people, is I'd used the tapping on acupuncture points to what we did at what they call the Dallas Peace Project. We had over 1,000 people tapping at the same time.
Tapping
on acupuncture points with their fingers, with the intention that we're going to have peace and less crimes and all that kind of stuff in Dallas. The crime rates went down. As soon as we started getting huge numbers of people tapping, the numbers went down to over 25%. That's huge. Like this is we started this about 2 years ago.
And they were tapping on their own acupuncture points on their body?
Yes. Because what we have learned in science now is that the blocks are located in our body. We can change the blocks in our body by tapping. I could tell you tales. Let me give you another example. I went to, right after they did the Art Bell show, as a matter of fact, I was invited to Carson City to talk about the quantum. And I just started tapping at that point, the tapping procedure. What I call it is quantum tapping, but really it's EFT, emotional freedom technique. Everything I do is based on that. I love that technique, and I love the people involved with it. And I love the ideas that are coming forth. The thinking is that I think that EFT is a conduit to the quantum field. Now, that's why I did the Dallas Peace Project. But let me start from scratch here and go back a little second. When I first started tapping, I went to Carson City, and this is the first time I ever brought somebody up from the audience because I realized it was working better than anything I'd ever seen before. And somebody from the audience got up and said they had arthritis. I said, okay, well, do you want to see if we can work on it? I said, and he said, yeah. He came up to the front. He said he couldn't sleep the last 3 days because the pain was so bad. So I tapped on his arthritis, and then I asked if he wanted to cure it permanently. He said, yes, I'll do anything. So I said, well, tell me something about your childhood that may be related to pain. Maybe we can cure it. He said, well, his dad used to make fun of him every time he cried. So I tapped on this old childhood memory.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what happened? The pain went away.
Yeah.
Not only that, the pain went off from his whole body. In fact, he said he had 7 different points that all went away right after lunch. Then I came back next year, and his wife, he had to work. His wife said he's still pain-free. This is arthritis. You're not supposed to be healed from arthritis. I get this all the time. I've had 500 people. I've done 500 public demonstrations of this technology. And it blows my mind when I see it done.
Are you getting the kind of media exposure other than programs like this that you should be getting?
No, we're not. We're not. And I'm a scientist, so when I say it blows my mind, it really does blow my mind. It doesn't make any sense. What I've seen happen. Autoimmune disease, completely gone. I had a lady that with one of my classes in Overland Park. She had heart arrhythmia. They were going to operate on it. She started tapping, and then she did some meditation, and she tapped and tapped, and boom, it went away.
That is amazing.
Now, I should mention this. This is different than acupuncture because with acupuncture, you are using the points, but you're not using psychology along with it.
Is it faith healing?
In a way, but again, it's not faith healing because we're using acupuncture. We're tapping on the points along with it.
Right. And you know, are you tapping with just your finger or do you have little needles?
No, I tap with fingers.
Huh.
Well, are you kidding? Nobody want to do it with that needle.
No, I don't want to do it with a needle.
Yeah, right. So and here's the weird thing about it. It makes sense, though, because we have to digress here. If all of our brain development happened when we're kids, then let's say we didn't get the love we needed. What's going to happen? The brain pathways are going to be developed in our brain that were not good enough or whatever. Because a lot of times kids weren't given hugs. I should tell you about the hug research.
Well, let's talk about that when we come back. And also, you know, how we know things before they happen. We'll talk about that as well with Dr. Garland Landreth. His work, Tap into Bliss. We'll be back in a moment. Hey, for just pennies a day, you can be a Coast Insider, part of Streamlink. Simply go to our coasttocoastam.com website, and you can sign up for it and get podcasting, download some special chat nights, and just have some fun. 15 to 20 cents a day, I guess. That's all it costs. We'll be back in a moment with more with Dr. Garland Landreth on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. So you're talking about the Dallas tapping acupuncture points. And where are these points, Garland? All over your body or
Yeah,
spots?
I have specific ones that are outlined in my DVD, but you can also catch them on EFT sites. But I've added some more to those because what I wanted to do, see, there's two different directions you can go with EFT. One direction is working on old issues. And the other direction is using it for positive purposes. In other words, to enhance your ability to pray, to enhance your ability to get high with. You could actually get high on it. A natural high, it's like what you'd call a runner's high, because it increases endorphins in the brain. And the latest research shows it not only increases endorphins, but it also increases serotonin, they think dopamine in the brain. So that's why I call this my DVD Tap into Bliss, because you can actually increase the feel-good neurotransmitters in the brain. Now, it depends on which points you tap on. That's why I have a DVD out to show people the points. And also, you can also get rid of problems. So most people, when they talk about EFT, they talk about problems. My thinking is, if you're going to change brain pathways, we want to do something that people feel good every day by. So if I can get you feeling a flow of a rush of endorphins, then what happens is you actually do it every day. And if you do it every day, you're going to change the brain pathways. In other words, because what you can also do with this thing is use it to manifest with. The body energies can be used to manifest with. So that was my thinking. So I knew that we could do with meditation, and I knew that you guys, you and Art, I had no idea you were doing as what you were doing though on a regular basis. I'm so excited. This is really exciting. I have to listen to it on Friday nights, or at least listen to it during the day.
Yeah. Well, we don't broadcast it. We don't broadcast it.
Oh, you don't merely, broadcast it?
No. This is where I want them on Fridays to take their own time and use that power of intention to make people feel better. And I am fielding these emails. They're coming in on a regular basis.
Oh, fascinating.
George, can you pray for Betty? You know, she's got a tumor.
So they don't know who they're praying for.
No, they don't know. I don't publish it. I don't put it up on the website. It's just something that I'll get, and then I don't keep the emails after
it's
done.
And then that's probably why it's working so well, because there's nothing for them to really focus on, so they're kind of abstractly sending.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
I think that's the missing. See, that's why it's been working so well, because I can lay a real strong case. We won't have time today. I can make a real strong case for the fact that giving up the intention is the key. But that's. So anyway, what I decided to do was I wanted to see I think the reason what you've been doing is spectacular, because I think you're very intuitive. You have, it's really funny because most people would go with the intentions and you'd have all the, trying to hold on to the intentions. You're not doing that. You're doing something different.
Yeah.
And exactly. I think that's why you've been so successful at it, because what I'm saying is actually collaborating what you've been doing intuitively.
I love it.
I know this is impressive. I'm very impressed. Very impressed.
Tell me about some of the studies that are being done about knowing about events before they happen.
Yes, that would be great. All right, let me. I can come back to the tapping thing because I was going to talk about the study we just did in Dallas. But anyway, no, this is really important. Well, the classic in the field was the one that was done by accident, and what happened was. There was some researchers who had a bunch of photos, and they were being presented on TV screens.
Okay.
And every 8 seconds, a new photo would come up, and the photo would either be negative or positive. Now, the negative photos were very, very gruesome. These were photos of people in morgues, and the people, and this is very gruesome, and they had positive photos, okay? And they would, of course, be random, so nobody knew what photo would come up. So they had people hooked up to GSR machines, which is similar to a lie detector, and that the reason being they thought there would be a spike in anxiety every time the negative photo was presented. And they had this experiment going on. Now, the purpose was kind of a psychic experiment to guess in advance which machine was going to which photo was going to come up in advance. Well, the people couldn't randomly guess. They couldn't guess. There was no significant difference.
No rhythm to it.
Right. But lucky for us, that's not the end of the story. The machines were going on during the whole experiment. And what they found was they were looking for a spike in anxiety every time they had the negative photo.
Mm-hmm.
They did indeed find that spike, but they found the spike 2 seconds before the negative photo was presented.
That is fascinating.
I know, it's mind-blowing.
In almost all the cases?
Yes, it was definitely a significant study. Then this is so mind-blowing, they thought it was a mistake, so they replicated it in a separate laboratory. Then they went one step further and looked at the MRIs. This is looking in the brain. And what they found is the whole brain would light up with anxiety about 4 seconds before the negative photo was presented. And again, it's in the body. That's why I'm saying the key is in the body. The body knew it was going to happen, even though the conscious couldn't figure it out.
That's something.
Yeah, I mean, this all the research keeps coming back to the body. Now, this which makes a lot of sense because our bodies are formed before our mind.
Yeah.
Because we have our heart beating at age 2 weeks or 3 weeks.
Yet we're tapping into this wireless internet. It's not physical.
That's true. That's really true. You got it. It's a very interesting analogy. Now, here's the kicker. This is one of the things I wanted to tell you guys. This is going to be published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology, the most prestigious journal in psychology. Dr. Bem is to study. This is also on the
finally.
Well, not the one I told you about. He did another study. He did 9 studies. And what he did was he had over 1,000 students. This is huge. This is not a small study. And he confirmed his hypothesis in all but one of the experiments. The odds against the possibility that the combined results are merely chance is about 74 billion to 1. This is huge. This is mainstream. This is as mainstream as you can get. Bem is like a classic, one of the best psychologists in the United States.
Bring him back. Let's go public with it when he's ready.
Here's what he said. What he did is he had, similar to the experiment I just outlined, he had erotic stimuli. He exposed some people to erotic stimuli before and other people not. And he found that the people who were exposed to erotic stimuli could figure out what was behind the screens better than the people who weren't exposed to erotic stimuli.
Really?
Yes. They also had, I don't know what he did here because I just got a hold of the study. But he also said that they had precognition. The bodies would respond. I'm sure that means a GSR. What he did is, I'm sure he replicated that experiment. He said there was a body, the bodies had had cognition 2 to 3 seconds prior to the appearance of the picture. And again, even before the computer had decided whether to present a non-arousing or an arousing photo. This is huge. And he said many academic psychologists do not believe that TSI exists. In fact, they are far more skeptical than physicists. We will see how they react to my article once it's published.
That is fantastic. That's exciting.
That is exciting. You have no idea how exciting this is. We've been working for this for years, and now it's actually happening. And thanks to you guys. What he did is he went to a convention. He heard about this other study, and he said that became convinced after reading all the published evidence for Psi that it's much more extensive and persuasive than he expected. And he was a firm skeptic up to that point. And so this is a major breakthrough. And anybody in Psi research or psychic research, this is like one of the biggest breakthroughs ever.
I want to get back to your Dallas in a moment, but let me ask you this then. What if all these great things are happening? We know it works. What if you have a group of people who have evil intent, not good intent, and their job, their mission, is to create havoc?
Yes, but here's their limitation. They have to use their left hemisphere.
Okay.
I haven't talked about this yet.
No.
Here's the deal. Let me start from the beginning on this one. That's a brilliant question, by the way, because in order for me to do what I do and you to do what you do, I've already shown how you and I are doing similar kinds of things. You've been doing it purely on intuition. But in order for us to do what we got to do, you've got to let go. And you got to be positive. How is somebody who wants evil going to send love to somebody?
Right.
So now here is the final kicker that I haven't told you guys about yet. There was a brain researcher from Harvard. Her name was Jill Bolte Taylor. And she was well known as a researcher on the brain. She had a stroke that shut down her left hemisphere of the brain. And instead of being in agony, she was in ecstasy. She had the traditional mystical experience. And she had 6 strokes. Finally, she said the only reason she came back to this earthly plane was to tell people about it. She's been all over the place. She's been interviewed on Oprah and everything. She says, we've got to get out of the left hemisphere. Now, this is going to blow your mind, especially for what you just told me, because you already know this. She said the first experience she had when she was out of her left hemisphere was that she was no longer alone for the first time in her whole life. In other words, you talked about we're all connected to those little points.
Yeah,
it's exactly it. She was no longer alone. And then she had the traditional mystical experience. Now, if somebody is focusing on intentions, what are they activating? The left hemisphere.
All at that point. That's right.
So if you're going to really get to the point that where you're going at, you couldn't do it if you were focusing on it. You could not do what you're doing as effectively.
Well, that's a good thing.
Exactly.
You know, because I've always wondered, you know, if we have so many good people doing this, what about the counterbalance, you know, out there to create evil for, you know, wishing people to die, for example, and things like that.
The thought will be, out of necessity, less powerful because we're using our left hemisphere. Here's another whole angle on the thing. The heart math people, and I teach heart math, and I also teach, it's kind of a combination of heart. That's what I use to help people meditate with. And I wouldn't have time to talk about it today, but basically the theory was, with heart math, is that our heart is actually the key to coherence in the brain. Because our heart was beating at 2 weeks, our brain wasn't developed until after we're born.
That's right.
So the electromagnetic field from the heart, the electrical field, I think, is 60 times greater than the brain, and the magnetic field is 5,000 times greater than the brain. Actually, what they have found, and this is, again, mind-blowing, they found that the heart actually is the first thing to go coherent, and then it brings the brain along with us. So in other words, that's why, again, getting back to why in this Harvard study, they found that love and hugs and kisses were the things that were the most important things that a person needs for happiness.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. After 10-second hug, again, all this research, I'm summarizing a whole bunch of studies, but they've all been done in the last 2 or 3 years. If you hug somebody for 10 seconds, you get a flow of oxytocin, which is the bonding hormone, and you also get an increased level of feel-good neurotransmitters, all the ones you take drugs for.
You know what's strange, too? I'm seeing more people, just in a gesture of, hi, how are you, hugging each other, guys, women, it doesn't matter, than I've ever seen before. And I mean, it's like all over the place.
I think the collective, again, you guys are making a difference. This is exciting for me. This is exciting for me, really exciting. I mean, I've seen your show has grown. It's become a lot more mainstream than it was when the last time I was here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, yeah, we still do the same thing, but we've expanded it.
Good. Well, and I'm just really impressed because to me, you know, having been in a situation where we're trying to get this stuff out to people, it's not being done.
It's called increase your market share.
Well, that's one reason why I think I came on here is to do that.
Well, that's good.
I've been touring all over the United States doing these seminars. That's why I did the DVD, as a matter of fact, because I figured I got to bottle up my seminars into something people can do. Now I
want you to tell us, by the way, where we can get the DVD, and we're going to keep you another hour, obviously. We're going to take calls and continue talking about some of your research. Our last hour with you is going to go by even faster than the first couple, but Where do you get your DVD?
Well, that would be on the tapintobliss.com.
Okay.
And what I have on the DVD is, a section that trains people what the points are, what points I use, because certain points are more beneficial for getting increased flows of endorphins than other points. And then the other thing I teach people is how to use it with positive affirmations, because We all know about the value of positive thinking, but how can we get more value, more power into the positive affirmation? So I teach people how to get high on life, and then you use that before you make a sales call, before you go to a job interview, or just before you go to work so you feel great. You don't get triggered. And then I have a section on songs where you actually tap along with songs. And then I have a section on prayers, prayerful songs, where you are, you know, these are kind of spiritual prayers. Like St. Francis's prayer is a great prayer.
And are they like Gregorian chants? Gregorian chants?
Yeah, I do have a section in there as well. Not Gregorian chants, but we have Starstream music. The guy that did all the planetarium music, he composed a song. I wrote some lyrics, and we make it in with pictures from outer space. So you kind of get this meditative kind of. Oh yeah, it's pretty awesome.
I call it twinkly music.
Exactly. And then, but it's more meditative. You can kind of actually get into a nice meditative state. And then the last two sections, we teach people how to fall asleep with it. And we teach people how to, because that's a big one. That's a huge one. People are taking all these drugs to fall asleep, and they do ruin your sleep. But then we teach people how to lose weight, which is another big one, especially this time of year.
That's fascinating. So it's all encompassing.
Yeah, I tried to put everything in there that I could, because I thought because here's the deal: nobody wants to work on negative issues all the time, and I think EFT has that label. So that's why I did a positive tape. I bought, you know, so people will do it every day. If you get up and you feel great after you tap, you feel high, you're going to keep doing it.
And you know what? I've got to tell you this, Dr. Garland Landreth, that people who don't understand this, most people who listen to this program do. But I would say that, let's say the daytime people, right, that don't understand it, or they think this is all mumbo jumbo or something like that, they'll never get it unless they open up their eyes and their hearts, understanding what you've been talking about all night. They'll just never get it. They've got to be able to open themselves up.
And that's why I like science, because science can bridge that gap for some of them, not all of them.
Right.
Some of them will listen to, and I talk in the DVD a lot about the science, why this works, why you do feel good after you tap. See, and my goal is, the other thing is, if you tap regularly, things will happen to you. You'll get intuitive flashes, and your intuition goes up. Because, again, if we are indeed quantum beings, then if we get rid of the blocks in the body, then we will have these intuitive flashes. We'll know what to do and how to become abundant. And that's what the whole goal of that DVD is.
Well, I think that's very astute of you to pick up on these blocks, because I've interviewed thousands of people in my career, and you're really the only person who has keyed in on it. I've had a few that have talked about, things that block you from being able to perform, but you have a grasp and an understanding for this, and I think that's refreshing.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. That's again when my feeling is we're all there. We just have to get rid of those earthly challenges, those earthly blocks, and not getting enough love. What happens is, when we don't get enough love, we start, the little kid in us thinks, and we don't get those hugs, parents don't come to our games.
That's right.
We think there's something wrong with us. What's happening when we think there's something's wrong with us? Our brain pathways were being developed. Now, here's the beautiful thing about tapping. There's now proof that with tapping on acupuncture points with your fingers while you're doing EFT, you can actually change the brain pathways.
That's amazing.
We have brain scans now that shows that for people suffering from chronic anxiety disorder, which they can't heal, you can tap 12 sessions and you completely cure the brain. The brain, and they did a follow-up study a year later, and the brain is still normal. That's why I love this technique for the Army guys and gals.
Well, I want to talk with you about the military when we come back in just a moment. Plus, we'll open up the phone lines with Dr. Garland Landreth as we talk about mass consciousness, his work. His DVD is called Tap Into Bliss, and we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.